and welcome to another edition of Visions. I am Yudeli Wickham Ashby, and I want to say a very special thank you for joining me this morning as we have another conversation around disability and how important it is for us to engage in these type of conversations. Before I introduce my guests, I would want to say to you, the public, should you have any questions around disability, around any issue relating to you living with a disability, or a family member living with a disability, caring for that family member, accessing services, whatever concerns or questions you have, please feel free to call me. You can WhatsApp me your question at 1-246-269-9660, or you can call me on that same number, as well as you can email your question to visionsbarbados@gmail.com. That is visionsbarbados@gmail.com. And in a later program, I will respond to your questions. Thank you for your support over the last 2 years, and I look forward to your continued support as we forge forward in discussing disability matters and making it more inclusive in our conversations, in our policies, in our practices and programs. Now, this morning, I have with me the president of Barnard, a young man who acquired a disability and who has taken on the leadership of this organization, Kelvin Arthur. Welcome to the program, Kelvin.
Hi, good morning, Yudeli. Thank you for having me.
Now, Kelvin, this morning, as we reflect on all that has been happening during this period of COVID-19, how would you say persons with disabilities have coped with the various limitations, restrictions that have been imposed as we try to keep our country, our citizens safe?
That is a good question, Yudeli. As it relates to individuals, we know that we have our sort of distancing, but as it relates to disabled persons who have a variety of issues, underlying issues, it is very hard, and the whole idea of isolation, it is a mental burden. Some persons, you will see them smile, but underneath you do not know exactly what is hidden, how they are feeling, their mental strain. And with the onset of this COVID-19, we cannot really get to meet and face-to-face talk. And that is somewhat of a challenging talk, because you cannot see the responses of the hate on their faces as it relates to their mental state and what they are hiding. Because some persons are not outspoken. Some persons will show a face, as they normally do, but they will not give you exactly what is going on in their life. And that is somewhat worrisome, because it can lead to depression and other ailments, which can also hamper their disability, along with their disability, can cause some real undue problems before healthcare and our disabled community.
Okay. And how would you say Barnard or other organizations have contributed to uplifting and alleviating some of those challenges amongst people with disabilities?
Well, you know, there's sort of the same, but we can call on the phone, WhatsApp, use other media, just keep a close contact in the areas that have been stipulated, and be your brother's keeper. whereas you call not every day, but at least every other day, just to get a sight of how persons are doing and put them in an easy state where they're not too agitated or do not feel isolated or left on their own.
And I think that that is a wonderful move or effort by the organization to reach out to not only the members of the organization, but other people with disabilities who have reached out for that level of camaraderie, support, you know, just having the time to talk and share to reduce some of the fears that they may have about even stepping outside of their house.
As I was saying, you do not know what you can find out from a person by just speaking. Sometimes you might just, you know, call and how are you and whatever the case may be, and then you find out that during the conversation, you and this person have the same likes, dislikes, same views, and the conversation can go and their personality is lessened and their anxiety is lessened, and they know that at some point in time, when they are feeling down or in a negative light, they have someone they can call and talk to that can cheer them up.
Well, Kelvin, have Barnard received support for efforts like this using the WhatsApp, the Zoom, and other technological tools to alleviate some of the stresses and stressors that some individuals and families have been experiencing?
Yes. There are two platforms that Barnard utilizes. There is the executive chat and there's the members chat. And anyone from the organization or outside of the organization can call Barnard, the president, which is me, and we can talk. You can tell me your concerns, what your language issues, anything in your neighborhood, whatever you feel like talking about, just to get things off your chest and to hear someone on the other end of the line who might lend an ear just to hear what you are saying.
So, Kelvin, as time is winding up with us, what do you have any other comments you want to share with us? Any other persons that you want to acknowledge for their tremendous support during this COVID-19 period?
Yes. In terms of our work, and our donors who have shown support in giving us donations and has shown a level of support and loyalty in the fact that they have given donations and have not asked for refunds in allowing us to keep the money that we can put on our annual walk whenever we have the opportunity to. And for that, we are gratefully thankful. It shows that not only are corporate Barbados into helping the organizations, but Barnard and other organizations such as have shown a level of loyalty in that these things can be done in this hard economic time. Also, I would like to thank the government of Barbados for their were in dealing with the COVID-19 and the disabled community in the care, the way they had done the care packages, and that was very helpful and appreciative by persons in the disabled community. Also, the BCD, who is our payment body, for their rallying of all members into one platform where we can share information in this isolation, and we are still one entity. And I hope that in the time to come, Barbados can have a speedy recovery. And things are somewhat normalized in the time to come.
Well, we are moving into a new normal. Things will be very different in some areas, drastically different. And one thing, Kelvin, I would want to join you in thanking the government of Barbados for their support, the good leadership demonstrated in managing this unprecedented situation. and making that commitment, even though it will be a financial debt to the country, to support the vulnerable, increasing the welfare benefits, providing, you know, monies for the self-employed, because people with disabilities are also in that bracket, and again, providing the immediate disbursement of the unemployment benefits. Again, people with disabilities are in that bracket as well. So we want to say a very special thank you to the government of Barbados, the private sector, the service clubs, all who have been contributing in some way to supporting and uplifting people with disabilities as well as other vulnerable groups.
And from Barnard and the rest of the country, we give them a great thanks.
Well, Kelvin, I want to say thank you for sharing your thoughts and your expressions with us. And at some other time, I will invite you back to discuss COVID-19 and its implications for persons with disabilities as we move forward.
Okay, looking forward to it.
Thank you.
Welcome.
You're listening to Visions with me, Yudeli Wickham Ashby. And now to the second part of our program, I'll be talking with Nasia Springer, a young woman with a daughter. That's how I will introduce her. Nasia, welcome to Visions.
Thank you, Yudeli, for having me on today. I am a 35-year-old mother to 1 2-year-old. I have a left-sided disability, which has me weak on the left side. And I cannot use, I don't have complete use of my left hand. But I get on with the day's task and I make things happen.
I know that you have a wonderful spirit of go-get. Now, Nasir, how did you acquire your disability?
Well, I was actually born with the factor that contributed to the whole disability. So in 2004, I had a brain aneurysm. I had a brain tumor removed as well at the same time. Then I had to have emergency surgery 6 days later to have a blood clot removed from my brain and part of my skull removed, so my brain could swell to its full capacity without me acquiring any brain damage or anything. So after that whole process, I was in a coma for 6 weeks, and I had a stroke while I was in the coma.
Okay. All right. And how would you say you have coped? How have you adjusted to your new way of walking and managing to do various tasks with limited use of one hand?
Well, I've never been the type of person to stay down for too long, so I just knew that my only way to survive and make it in the world is if I get up and go and do the same, adjust my way of normal living to accommodate the disability that I now have. So I just get up and go and do the things that I have to do, although it would take me a bit longer in some cases, or sometimes I have to find a totally different method of doing things, but my mindset is to just get what I have to do done.
Great, lovely. And since you acquired your disability, you did two major things. One is that you completed your associate degree in mass communications, and secondly, you delivered a healthy baby girl called Miracle. So share what your experience was like going to community college and pursuing your associate degree.
Well, going to community college, it had its challenges. Nothing in life comes without its challenges. So in some cases, having to get to the other side of the college to access my radio programming class was a challenge because I had to walk down some steps, and they dropped from the last step onto the ground itself was a bit steep, so that posed some challenges for me after a while because it started to have an effect on my hips. So I had then was to go and try to source another means of getting to my class from the main campus, which the registrar and the principal were very accommodating to me. They arranged for the for the college messenger to take me around in the car to my classes when I needed to get all over to the other side. So college was a challenge, but I made it through, thanks to God, and everything was awesome.
Yeah, and it's that level of commitment and support that we're looking forward to in terms of encouraging people with disabilities to pursue their education, pursue employment, and really be integrated into this full fabric of our society. Now, Nisnia, people would probably be saying, pregnant? Why would disabled women want to become pregnant? Why would they want to have children? What are your thoughts on that? And how was your experience being pregnant?
Usually, my belief has always been the height of any woman's femininity and the height of her calling herself a full woman is after she has given birth to a child or to offspring. That is the height of a woman's femininity. So it's no strange way to life or anything like that. But every woman that has something going for her, that has a life, has the dream of having her own offspring, someone to carry on her name and her legacy. So for me, giving birth to a healthy, very active child was the height of my femininity, and I am pleased to know that I brought her into this world in good health and strength, and she's a very smart little girl. She just celebrated her second birthday on Monday.
Lovely. And what would you say the experience was like? Because, you know, some people experience morning sickness. Some people have diabetes, gestational diabetes, and other conditions that sometimes come into play. And some people may also, looking at you, might be thinking, well, maybe Nisnia had to be on bed rest for the majority of her pregnancy. What was it like for you?
Well, actually, I had no idea I was pregnant to begin with due to another condition that I have. I had no idea I was pregnant. So for me, but the experience, I had no morning sick. I did not even have a common cold. So my experience, it wasn't easy. I'm not going to say it was easy, but it was bearable. I didn't have to go to the morning sickness. So the only major problem I had is when my daughter started to grow and get bigger. The growing pains and the stretching, her moving around used to be very painful, whereas she would only go and rest on my sciatic nerve. So I had a lot of backache and pains running through my feet and that kind of thing. Apart from that, to me, it was quite a good pregnancy.
Okay. And what about managing your daughter now or immediately after the delivery, seeing that you still had limited use of your hand, one of your hands?
Well, I won't say it's an easy task, but having a strong family support system played a very integral part in me raising my daughter, because my family members, they rallied around me. They knew because I delivered her by C-section. So it wasn't bad or anything like that, but they rallied around me. They helped me to look at it. They knew there were limited things that I could do having to recover from the slight surgery and that delivery process and that kind of thing. So they rallied around me. They really helped me out, and they really accommodated me in doing things that they knew that I couldn't get it done. They did it for me. So I'm very thankful for them, for the part they played in helping me take care of that aspect.
Great, because sometimes we hear so many horror stories of families wanting to take charge of raising the child, and the mother or father with a disability is put in the background. So I'm really pleased to know that your family is giving you that level of support. And did you have to develop any new techniques, like to feed her or change her pamper?
Yes, I actually did have to do that. But first, because when I was first, when I first delivered her, the nurse used to come and assist me in helping me to do it. So one day, the nurses were all busy attending to other patients. So the baby needed changing. So I decided, you know what? They're busy with other patients, and the other patients need as much attention as I do. Although they might say I need more attention because I have the disability. So I just got up, I got the wipes and the pamper and everything, and I decided to change her diaper myself, and I got it done. I mean, I had to think quickly at first to think how I'm going to maneuver and get it done. But I'm a quick thinker, I learn fast, so I developed a quick technique in getting her freshened up and everything on the spot.
Lovely, lovely. And what are some of the goals that you have in mind for your child, raising your child?
Well, since Miss Miracle now is at the age, she's 2 years old, she's going through her terrific twos, which seem to be quite terrible for me, but they're terrific for her. She's going through her twos, so she's like a shadow. I mean, no, she's always following me, she's always mimicking everything I do, repeating everything I say, so I have now to be mindful of what I do, what I say in her presence, because she's like a sponge, she soaks up everything, and now she knows how to use a tablet, a smartphone, everything. I have to be even more careful and more vigilant with her.
And I think this is one of the important lessons of parenting, that our children do learn from whatever they see us, the parent, do. Therefore, it's imperative that we do the right things and the best things. Yes, right. As human beings, there will be occasions that we will make errors, we'll make mistakes, but the important part here would be to admit, correct, and move forward. Now, Nasia, what would you say to other women with disabilities who may be thinking of, you know, having a baby? What are some of the recommendations you would give to those young ladies and young men?
The recommendation I would have is to have a good plan. If you do plan to have a child, make sure you have that strong family support system, that, you know, when you have this baby, your family understands there are certain things you can and cannot do. If they'll be willing to assist you in the difficult areas that you will have to go through with the child. And also have a partner that is willing and understands that you have challenges, and they will be willing to pick up the slack and play their role as well, because two heads are better than one. So when you have a partner that knows their responsibility and agrees to their responsibilities, then the less problems you would have in raising this child.
Now, Lucia, as you spoke, one of the thoughts that came to mind is that of genetic counseling. I know it's a very sensitive topic when you're recommending or suggesting to a couple to do some genetic testing. As you mentioned earlier, you have a factor that would have led to your developing the disability you have. And therefore, one of the immediate cases I can think of, like, would be two persons who have sickle cell traits, and, you know, becoming pregnant, then that child is open to having full-blown sickle cell. having genetic counseling could also provide some answers and recommendations for that couple. What are your thoughts about a topic like genetic counseling?
Well, it is essential, especially if you were born with that disability. But in my case, where I had an AV malformation of my brain cells, I asked Steve, as from the time I was able to speak and do things around and decided, well, I want to be a mother someday, I asked my surgeon out for is my condition hereditary? And he said, no, it isn't, because it happens in one in all these hundreds of thousands of people. So that is why it was okay. I never had any fears or anything about becoming a mother, because I know it would be a very slim chance that my daughter would have developed the same factor that led to me having a disability.
Nasia, our time is catching up with us, so my final question to you would be, how did Miracle's father respond to you in terms of becoming pregnant?
Well, he was actually very happy, very excited, because this would have been his first child. So he was very happy and he was very attentive, and he would ask me for, you know, how I'm doing, how I'm eating, that kind of thing, to make sure both me and the baby were okay on a daily basis.
Lovely. And that is an excellent point to end on, where your partner was giving you the necessary support, the mindfulness that is needed during a pregnancy, because it's not only the woman who is pregnant, but also the man in terms of, you know, impregnating and sharing his sperm with you. So I want to say thank you very much, Nasia, for so openly sharing your thoughts and feelings around your life as a young woman with a disability, and more especially as a mother with a disability raising a young child in today's society. Thank you very much, Nasia.
And thank you for having me, Yudali.
You have been listening to Visions with me, Yudali Wickham Ashby. Remember, you can reach out to me on 1-246-269-9660 or via Starcom at 1-246-430-7300, via email visionbarbados@gmail.com. That's visionbarbados@gmail.com. So until next week, be safe and enjoy your life.